chapter 19, your 2012 investment guide. It says in verse 11, Luke 19, verse 11, while they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once, Jesus said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and he gave them 10 minas, that's like a gold bar or a silver bar, and he said, put this money to work until I come back. But his subjects hated him and they sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and he returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more minas. Well done, my good servant, the master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in very small matters, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I do not put in and reaping what I do not sow. Why then didn't you at least put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. Sir, they replied, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you the truth, that everyone who has more will be given, but for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. How many of you want more in 2012? About half of you do. I'm sorry for the rest of you. How many of you want more in 2012? Holy Spirit's going to help us to know how to get it. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this fresh new morning. Father, thank you for fresh grace. Father, I pray that you'd come now and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that change us from glory to glory. If your heart agrees, just say amen and amen. Well, when I was growing up, my dad was pretty much OCD about our house and about our property. He always wanted our yard to look picture perfect. We had lots of kids in our neighborhood, and so my dad would always say to us, go run and play ball on the neighbor's lawn and keep ours nice. And when it snowed, he didn't want us to sled or to make tracks or to make snow angels on our front lawn. He wanted to look out the window and see a perfect, fresh, white coat of snow. Do you know, it's not very often that a new year begins on a Sunday, and it's kind of special to me. It reminds me of our lawn with an unspoiled, sparkling coat of fresh fallen snow. Ahead of us are 366 days glittering with potential and opportunity and unblemished. It's leap year, by the way, in 2012. So my question for you this morning is, what kind of tracks will you make in 2012? Will you step into the new year gingerly? Will you jump in enthusiastically with both feet? Will you throw your whole self into it, or will you just trudge through it? What kind of impression will you leave behind in this new year? How will you invest your life in 2012? How will you invest your time and your energy and your resources and your abilities and the gifts God has been giving you. Jesus told the parable of the 10 talents for us. He told this parable for the benefit of believers living in the last days before his return. And the message of the parable of the 10 talents is, do not grow complacent while waiting for his second coming. Do not neglect your spiritual growth. Do not neglect your Christian duty. Do not neglect the work of his kingdom. Do not coast while you're waiting for him to come again. John puts it this way. He says, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears in majesty, we can be confident and not ashamed at his coming. Jesus says, while you're waiting for the second coming, do not slack off, invest. A man of noble birth, that's Jesus, went to a far country, that's heaven, to have himself appointed king by the Father. Daniel talks about that. So he called 10 of his servants and he gave them 10 minas, 10 pieces of gold or silver. And he said, put this money to work until I come back. I grew up on the old King James Bible. And if you remember in Luke 19, it says there, occupy until I come. That was kind of an unfortunate translation, really, because occupy can mean to take up space. And that's all some Christians do, is take up space. And every year they take up a little bit more space than the year before. Occupy can mean keep busy. And some Christians are good at keeping busy, but nothing ever gets accomplished. But the Greek word here in Luke 19 is the word pragmatuomai. And pragmatuomai doesn't mean occupy, it means invest. Put this money to work. Trade with this. Do business. Now, if I were being naughty, I might throw in the line that it appears that God prefers investors to occupiers. But I'm not being naughty. Beloved, listen to me. As we stand on the threshold of this new year, I have an urgency in my spirit that we must invest, invest, invest heavily in the kingdom of heaven in 2012. And so I want to share with you this morning from the Holy Spirit your investment guide for 2012. And the Holy Spirit has put 6 areas on my heart that we need to invest in with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength in this new year. 6 areas to invest in 2012. First of all, let's invest in spiritual truth. Let's invest in spiritual truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and discipline and understanding. Beloved, American culture has a problem when it comes to the truth and American Christianity right along with it. We no longer have a palate or the stomach for the sober spiritual truths that are inherent to the gospel. Beloved, the gospel is the good news that God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for sin so that all who receive him by faith can be saved from eternal damnation in the fires of hell and go to live with God forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, listen to me. The gospel is not platitudes or equivocations. The gospel is the message that Jesus is the way, the one and only way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. The gospel is the message that salvation is found in no one else but Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Those are good words, but they are very hard words. They're exclusive words. They are absolute words. The gospel is good news. Indeed, it's the best news ever for those of us being saved by it. But for those who reject Jesus, the gospel is very, very bad news. It's the news that they are the objects of God's wrath. It's the news that they will not stand in the final judgment. And the house fell with a great crash. It's the news that their destiny is punishment in a place of eternal torment that is so horrible that Jesus said it was prepared for the devil and his demons and not meant for mankind. Beloved, the real inconvenient truth that we have to contend with is not global warming, it's eternal burning. And Paul says to those who reject Jesus, this gospel is both foolish and offensive. Beloved, I want to speak prophetically over you that I believe that a sharp divide is about to grow between mainstream Christianity in America and those who cling to the exclusive and absolute truths of the gospel. Even among evangelicals today, there is a rapidly growing movement that either wants to downplay the hard truths of the gospel or reject them altogether. Three heresies that are rapidly advancing in evangelicalism. One of them is syncretism. Syncretism is the teaching that we're all on different roads to the same destination. One of them is universalism. Universalism is the teaching that in the end, everyone will be saved by Jesus' death on the cross. And the third one is annihilationism. Annihilationism is the teaching that after the final judgment, believers in Jesus will go on to eternal life and all the rest will simply cease to exist. I was chatting with a pastor friend of mine about these things last summer, and he said something that was so true. He said, who wouldn't want to be a universalist if we could be? And that's so right. Hell is so awful that how could anyone relish the thought of people suffering there? But unfortunately, the words of Jesus do not permit syncretism, nor universalism, nor annihilationism. In fact, Jesus talked more about the eternal torment of the lost than anyone else in the New Testament and John after him. Jesus' teaching in the Gospel of Matthew ends with these words, then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Beloved, listen, that is not a metaphor. That is an explicit statement of spiritual truth in red letters from the lips of Jesus himself. And listen to me, I believe that coming quickly, Christians who hold firm to the gospel message of salvation exclusively through faith in Jesus are going to find themselves in the minority and even persecuted. Over the last year, I had the opportunity three times to see a major, major evangelical leader interviewed on some different news programs. If I said his name, every one of you would know it. And all three times he choked badly on the question, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation? He answered, well, Jesus is the right way for me. And it just so happened that each time after I saw those interviews, I also had the opportunity to see Franklin Graham interviewed on different programs. And I'm so proud of my man Franklin. I just had to show him some respect this morning. I'm going to support his ministry this year. Because all three times, he gave the most gracious, clear, unflinching presentation of the gospel that I've heard. Bill O'Reilly was questioning Franklin Graham on a major new book written by an evangelical that embraces universalism. And O'Reilly asked Franklin, he said, "How could a good God send people to hell?" And Franklin Graham answered and he said, "God did the most loving thing he could ever do. He gave his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross that through faith in him, everyone who believes can escape hell." Beloved, listen to me. That is the gospel. The gospel is a sublime message of divine wooing, but it is also a somber message of divine warning. Do not reject Jesus. Do not reject his love. Do not reject his gift of salvation. And here's the thing. I know in my heart that first leader, I know that he really does believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. But he's so committed to not offending anyone that he won't commit himself to a clear statement of the truth. And I'm not trying to throw spears at anyone or criticize another man's ministry, but I do believe that it exposes a slippery slope that's happening in American evangelicalism. To be positive is good, but never at the expense of truth. To embrace people is good, but never if it comes with the compromise of spiritual truth. Buy the truth. And sell it not. Beloved, it's urgent that we invest in spiritual truth in 2012. This is from the Holy Spirit. Truth ignored is ultimately truth rejected. Truth avoided is ultimately truth rejected. Truth neglected is ultimately truth rejected. How can you and I invest in spiritual truth in 2012? Three things fast. Number one, if you want to invest in spiritual truth in 2012, cultivate your personal relationship with Jesus Christ because he is the truth. And as you grow in your relationship with Jesus, he helps you to intuitively know the truth that's in the Bible. I'm always amazed when I find brand new believers who don't know very much at all about what the Bible says, but they're in tune with Jesus. And when they hear teaching that is off, when they hear teaching that is wrong and off base, they are immediately able to identify it. That they don't know so much what the Bible says, but because they're plugged into Jesus, something just doesn't sit right in their spirit. They're able to identify it. They don't have peace with it. See, beloved, in the living presence of Jesus, mercy and truth come together in one extraordinary moment where at the same time, someone is convicted of his sin and convinced of God's love for him more than ever. Jesus was not very seeker-friendly when he met with the woman at the well. He definitely crossed cultural barriers and broke social taboos to speak to the woman, but he wasn't very seeker-friendly. I don't know whether he would cut the test with most American evangelicals today. He spoke to the woman in spiritual terms that went right over her head. Then he told her that her ancestral religion was false and she was on the wrong path. Then he exercised a gift of the Holy Spirit and was used in a word of knowledge and supernaturally disclosed events about her past. And then he confronted her about living with a man out of wedlock after having had a revolving door of failed marriages. That was not very seeker-friendly. Jesus, didn't you know that? But see, beloved, listen, in the living presence of Jesus, mercy and truth came together in one moment at that woman's life. So at the same instant, she was convicted of her sin, and she was convinced more than ever about how much God loves her. She ran around the town excited, saying, "Come see a man who told me everything bad I ever did. Don't you want to meet him too?" Beloved, here's what we need in the church. We don't need any more cultural accommodation. What we need is to cultivate the living presence of Jesus that causes those divine moments to happen in people's lives. How can you and I invest in spiritual truth in 2012? Cultivate personal relationship with Jesus. Read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word. Thy word is truth. And third, consider carefully the teaching and the preaching that you receive. If the preaching that you listen to never challenges you, if it never convicts you, if it never gets in your face at times, if it never pushes you and inspires you to reach higher, if the preaching you listen to never stirs something burning inside of you to be closer to Jesus and more like him, if it doesn't make you think about heaven enough, then you probably need to add something else to your spiritual diet. Beloved, as his coming draws near, let's be people who are committed to spiritual truth. Let's be firmly grounded in the truth of the Bible. Let's not be of those who shrink back. Let's be of those who believe and are saved. Your 2012 investment guide: invest in spiritual truth. Secondly, invest in prayer. Secondly, invest in prayer. Several weeks ago, I was just seeking the Lord's direction for 2012. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Pray, pray, 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 pray in 2012. Prayer is absolutely urgent. Number one, because of what's happening in the world. And number two, because of what God wants to do in his church. Beloved, I want to tell you that it is on like Donkey Kong. There's never been another time like this in human history. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the global harvest that is going on. The state of the global economy. The deterioration of Western society. The restoration of Israel and the destabilization of the Arab world. What the media is calling the Arab Spring looks a lot more like what the Bible calls harvest time to me. Beloved, listen to me. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The signs of his soon appearing are all around us, and we need to pray. There's so much power and provision that God wants to release to us. There's so much divine help that we need to succeed in the days that are coming in 2012. Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you." What Jesus means is pray, pray, pray. He means to pray with escalating urgency. Pray, pray, pray. When my son wants to find my wife in the house, he starts out by calling her name. "Mom, mom, mom." It's like perfect cadence. It's just, "Mom, mom." And if Denise is up in the bedroom and he doesn't hear her answer, then he'll get up and he'll start walking around the house calling louder. "Mom, mom, mom, mom." And if he sees the bedroom door is closed, he'll go upstairs and he'll begin knocking on the door. "Mom, mom, mom, mom." And here's the thing. He will not quit until he gets an answer. Jesus said that's exactly what we need to do. Pray, pray, pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with fasting. Pray in agreement with others. Pray in the morning. Pray at noontime. Pray in the evening. Pray at home. Pray while you're in your car. Pray at work. Pray at church. Pray by yourself. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. Pray with your friends. Pray, 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 and God will answer, answer, answer. I want to encourage you, start this new year by investing in prayer with us. We're going to begin fasting tomorrow. Out on the Welcome Center, there's a copy of a book by Jansen Franklin. Or is it Franklin Jansen? I don't know. But the title of the book is Fasting. Did I get it right the first time or the second time? The title of the book is Fasting. Price is $10. That's our cost. We don't make anything on the books. But here's what I want you to do. As soon as this service is over, I want you to go out to the Welcome Center. I want you to get a copy of that book. And let's start out the new year on the same page together in the Spirit, investing in prayer and fasting. We're going to be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Thursday night at 7 o'clock, our friend Pastor Brian Simmons is going to be with us. Friday night is the first pursuit of the new year, and our young people are going to lead us. Pastor Brian and I are going to be there, but we're just going to let our teenagers and our young adults lead us, and we're going to see where the Holy Spirit takes us on Friday evening. Invest in prayer. We have prayer groups that meet all different times of the week. There's a crazy group of men that meet here at 6 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday, and they pray. There's a group called Warring Women that meets Wednesdays at noon. There's a group called Watchmen Prayer that meets Thursdays at noon. There's youth prayer at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights before youth service begins. There's prayer here in the sanctuary on Wednesday evenings. Young at Heart Prayer. There's Collision Prayer. The men pray the second and fourth Friday of every month at 8 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Invest in prayer. Listen, if you can't join one of the groups that's already going, call two or three of your friends and start your own group and pray, pray, pray. And as we pray, our Father is going to bestow upon us the things that He knows we really need for this coming year. Your 2012 investment guide, spiritual truth, prayer. Third, let's invest in faith. Let's invest in faith. Peter writes to us, and he says, make every effort to add to your faith. The word in Greek there is an interesting one. It's epikouragein. An epikouragein is an impresario. Someone who is involved in every aspect of putting together a stage production, including putting up the financing. Maybe a good example is Mel Gibson's role in the making of the film, The Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson conceived of the film. He put up his own money to make it. He was heavily involved in the development of the script. He selected personally the actors and he directed the filming. He was involved in every aspect of making the film. And Peter uses this word to say to each one of us, invest the same level of care and attention and effort and time and resources to make your faith grow. Beloved, listen, speaking prophetically over you, we need more faith for the days that are coming ahead. Much more faith. I believe that we're going to need more faith to believe God for supernatural provision. Do you know, Jesus never carried any money on him. He never had to. Jesus had the authority to requisition whatever he needed, whenever he needed it. Jesus, listen, if you think about this, it'll blow your mind a little bit. Jesus had the authority to call forth provision out of creation itself. He told the enemy, if I wanted to, if I needed to, I could turn these stones into bread. And beloved, I believe that we are going to need that same kind of faith to call forth supernatural provision. Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that at all times you have everything you need to abound to every good work. What's Paul talking about there? He's talking about God blessing us with the spiritual authority to call forth supernatural provision at the moment that it's needed. I also believe that we're going to need more faith to believe God for supernatural healing and for preservation of our health. In the days ahead, I believe it's possible that persecution of Christians can take the form of restricted access to medical care. And I believe that we might find ourselves in a position where we once again need to return to trust in God for healing and for preservation of our health. Our friend Dr. Joe Vitiri is getting ready to release a brand new book. It's called The Genesis Diet. And it sheds light on secrets in the scripture to walking in God's divine health. Dr. Joe's going to release his new book right here at Harvest Time on Friday night, January the 20th. There's information about that out on the Welcome Center. And I want you to come and I want you to invest in divine health in 2012. But we're going to need more faith this year. In the parable of the talents, the third servant failed because of a lack of faith. Beloved, I can tell you exactly what you are going to receive in 2012. You will get what you expect in 2012. See, the third servant, he completely misunderstood the character of the king. Everything he presumed about the king was precisely the opposite of what the king truly was. He was afraid of the king. He accused the king of being a hard man. He accused the king of being a taker. He accused the king of being unfair in collecting what had been invested, when in reality, the king was a good king. The king was a giver. The king was a rewarder. The king was true to his word. Before the king left, he gave them each a deposit. And when the king returned, he not only let them keep the deposit, but he also let them keep their earnings, and he heaped more reward on top of it. That's the kind of king that we have. Beloved, listen, receive the grace of God this morning. May God give you by the Holy Spirit an impartation of more faith in this place this morning. Expect good things from your King in 2012. He is the giver of good gifts. He is the giver of ability and talent and surpassing wisdom. He's the giver of opportunities. He is the giver of favor with men. Expect good things and expect good rewards from your king in 2012. The third servant expected to fail, and he did. He expected to be unprofitable, and he was. He expected to lose his mina, and he did. He expected to disappoint the king, and he did. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Pragmatuomai, invest. It is not a suggestion, it's a command. It's a royal commission. And listen to me, beloved, God's commission is always his permission to succeed. Pragmatuomai is a command with a blessing attached to it. What it actually means is invest with good results. Produce, flourish, expand, succeed, prosper. See, whenever God commands someone to do something in Scripture, His command is always accompanied by His divine blessing for success. Come on, I'm preaching to you this morning. Are you going into the cookie coma? Me and Terry are going to be blessed in 2012. I don't know about the rest of you. When God told Adam and Eve to go forth and to be fruitful, He blessed them and they went forth and they were fruitful. When God commanded Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, it was accompanied by His divine promise for success. He told Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you?" In other words, if I told you to do it, I'm going to help you through it. When I set out to do something for God, I don't expect to fail. I expect by His good grace to succeed. Jesus said, "You didn't pick me. I picked you and I ordained you to go and bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains." When I became the senior pastor of this church, I did not expect to fail. I expected to succeed. When we got this property under contract for purchase, I did not expect to fail. I expected to succeed. When we broke ground on this building, I did not expect to fail. I expected to succeed. When we put up an air dome, and when we hired pastors, and when we went to multiple services, and when we opened a satellite campus in Stanford, I didn't expect to fail. I expected to succeed. And I fully expect, by the grace of God, to succeed with the construction of phase two as well. We're already well on the way. We already have in our hands a zoning approval for the largest auditorium in Greenwich that was obtained in a moment of miraculous opportunity. We already have a full set of construction documents on file with Town Hall. We've already finished, glory be to Jesus, two of the new parking lots that are needed for the construction of that building. We're well on the way. Our next stop is to break ground on the shell of that new building, and we're going to do it next year, and God is going to help us, and we're going to succeed. What will you receive in 2012? You will get what you expect. You will get what you confess. The third servant was rewarded according to the words of his own mouth. He got exactly what he confessed. Beloved, listen to me, because here's a word here for somebody in this house this morning. It's time to start speaking better things over yourself in 2012. It's time to start speaking truths that are in alignment with the Word of God over yourself in 2012. It's time to start speaking life over yourself. It's time to start speaking wholeness over yourself. It's time to start speaking health over yourself. It's time to start speaking fruitfulness and productivity over yourself. The power of life and of death are in the tongue. Speak words of life. What will you receive in 2012? You'll get what you expect. You'll get what you confess, and you'll get what you invest. The third servant was controlled by a spirit of fear. He took the king's deposit and he wrapped it up in a napkin and he buried it in a grave. It's interesting, but the word for napkin here in Luke 19 appears in only one other place in the Gospels, and it is the face cloth that they put over the dead body of Jesus when they buried him in the tomb. You see, a spirit of fear causes the king's living deposit to become wrapped up in a death napkin and buried in a grave where it will produce nothing. Beloved, listen. If you're in Jesus, you've received a living deposit from the King. If Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, you've received a living deposit of faith. You've received a living deposit of His grace. You've received a living deposit of the Holy Spirit. What will you invest to make it grow in 2012? Make every effort to add to your faith. Lots of ways we can add to our faith. We already talked about the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want to give you this one quickly. Invest time praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues to make your faith grow. Jude says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." Paul said, "He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself." He builds himself up. If you want to grow in faith, one way you can do it is by investing time praying in the Spirit. Your 2012 investment guide. Spiritual truth, prayer, faith. How am I doing so far? I'm almost done. I'm almost all the way through the list. Fourth place to invest in is the anointing. Invest in the anointing. The anointing is supernatural ability that is bestowed upon us by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Peter said, "You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Beloved, I'm speaking prophetically over you this morning that the days are coming quickly when we're going to need more of the anointing. Gimmicks aren't going to cut it anymore. Peaches and cream positivism isn't going to cut it anymore. The kingdom of heaven is not talk, but power. And especially as our culture descends deeper and deeper into spiritual darkness, we're going to need supernatural ability, the anointing that comes from heaven, to untangle people from the spiritual bondage that they've gotten themselves into. And the anointing comes from only one place. It comes only from being in the presence of God. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The only way to increase the level of anointing in your life is to increase the level of God's presence in your life. Lots of ways we could talk about to do that, but let me give you this one quickly. Grow in the anointing in 2012 by investing more in worship. Here's a good New Year's scripture for you. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's how. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to Him. Beloved, listen, worship invites the presence of God around you. Worship establishes the authority of the King around you. He is enthroned upon the praises of His people. My mother lived in the same house from 1960 to, I think, 2008. She sold her house. And my mother's house had the most unusual atmosphere in it. Whenever people came to her house, to a person, they would walk through the front door and they would smell the air. And everybody would comment and they would say, "It smells so clean in here." And I honestly believe that what they were expressing was a spiritual reality, a spiritual atmosphere that they could sense when they walked in the door. See, way back in 1973, when my mom became a believer, someone told my mom that in order to create an atmosphere of worship and establish the order of heaven, to play scriptures and play worship in the house. So my mom had an old Panasonic cassette recorder, and she had the Bible on tape, and she had worship tapes, cassette tapes. And my mom, from 1973 to 2008, when she moved out of that house, every day would carry that old cassette recorder around from one room of our house to the other, playing the Word of God and playing worship. And because of that, she created in our home an atmosphere that was full of the presence of God, and the order of heaven, the authority of the kingdom was in that place, so that every person who walked in the door experienced it. Beloved, you listen to me. Invest more in worship in 2012. Invest less in dancing with the ding-dongs and invest more in worship. Invest less in American idolatry and invest more in worship. Jesus is my idol. Shut off the boob tube and come to church on Wednesday night and pray for Snooki. She needs Jesus. Listen to me. It is on like Donkey Kong. Jesus is coming back soon. And what are you going to tell him? I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't spend more time in prayer and in your presence, but I really wanted to see who won the trophy with the glittering ball on top of it. Let's invest in the anointing. All right, number five. Got to go fast now. Your investment guide for 2012. Am I doing all right this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Number five, let's invest in personal holiness. Let's invest in personal holiness. Peter said, make every effort to add to your faith. Hebrews says, make every effort to be holy, for without holiness, no one shall see God. Paul wrote, since we have such precious promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So much preaching, so little time. Let me say this from the Holy Spirit. Everybody look at me. The goal of this life is to become more like Jesus in every way. And the Holy Spirit will not stop working on you until you surrender your whole heart to God. Even if everything else in your life is in perfect godly order, if there's even one thing that's not yielded to God, that is the thing He will zero in on. Sometimes we have this mistaken notion about the Christian life, that because we do all this good over here, we've accumulated all this good over here, that because we have all this over here, that God will overlook this one little indulgence over here. One little area of my life that's unyielded to Him. One little area of my life that I'm holding back from Him, that I'm unsurrendered. God will surely overlook it if I do a little bit more over here. If I give double tithes. Give double tithes. God will surely overlook it. It's a lot easier to just surrender to Jesus than to give double tithes, isn't it? Listen, that's not the way things work in the kingdom of heaven. In the letter to the seven churches, God addresses one church after the other, and He says, I know your works. I know all the good things that you've done. I commend you for them. I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. But God says that there's just one thing over here that we need to talk about. Beloved, listen to me. If there's anything in your life that's not surrendered to Jesus, why not on this first day of the new year, on this Sunday, why not give it up to Him this morning? Why not surrender it to him this morning and yield to him so that we can go on and enjoy 366 glittering days full of promise and potential? Your 2012 investment guide, spiritual truth. Let's invest in prayer, in faith. Let's invest in the anointing. Let's invest in personal holiness. Last thing, finally, invest in service to God's family and his ministers. Invest in service to God's family and his ministers. Everyone listen to me for one moment. When God wants to bless you, he always presents you with an opportunity to serve. When God wants to bless you with more provision, he presents you with an opportunity to serve. This is a kingdom truth. When God wants to bless you with a higher position, he presents you with an opportunity to serve. When God wants to bless you with an inner transformation, when he wants to bless you with a deeper relationship with him, he presents you with an opportunity to serve. So many scriptural examples. I don't have time to run through them all, but let me give you this scripture from Paul. Paul says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, at harvest time, we shall reap if we do not faint. Therefore, let us take every opportunity to do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of God." If I can have your permission to be just a little hard on you this morning, because I've been pretty easy. I have to say that the Harvest Time Church is really the most wonderful church that Denise and I have ever had the privilege of being part of. And we've been part of some pretty good ones. This is a great church with a great future in Jesus. But I do believe that there is one thing that's holding us back from the next level of blessing that God wants to release on our congregation. I feel that we're a little behind where we should be when it comes to taking care of one another. And I feel that we're a little behind where we should be when it comes to honoring the ministry. Beloved, I know it might sound self-serving, but I would be unfaithful if I didn't teach you kingdom truth. When you serve and when you bless and when you honor your pastors, you honor the God that we represent, and he rewards it. In the book of Acts, it says that no one among them had any need. And I can't help feeling just pierced in my heart over people among us who are in desperate need right now, and we need to do more for each other. I'm so proud of you. You know, we made an appeal at Christmas time, and I'm so proud because you gave. There were people who had needs, and because you gave, they had something to eat on Christmas Day, and they had things to put under the tree. There were people who were sick who got comforted. There were people who were alone who had a table to sit at with a family in Christ to eat together with. I'm so proud of you for doing that. It's a great start to 2012. Let's keep up the good work, and let's sow more in service to one another in 2012. Jesus is coming very soon. Let's invest, invest, invest heavily in the kingdom of heaven. My twins turned 10 this week on Thursday. My wife and I were having trouble having kids. We were having a terrible time getting pregnant, and Denise had a couple of very early miscarriages. And we went and we went to doctors and we got tested, and they decided that Denise needed to receive injections, daily injections of hormones. So we got all set up for that, and we were getting ready to start, and I was going to have to give them to her every day. and I hate needles. And we cried out to the Lord. And we went on the day that we were supposed to begin the injections. And early in the morning, we went. Denise had a blood test. And then we went back and we went to work. I was at the church office. Denise was working at her office. And I picked her up and we went back at noontime. And they were going to give me a lesson on the injections. And when we walked in the door, the nurse looked up. She was surprised to see us. And she said, "Didn't you get my message?" And we said, "No." And she said, "You're pregnant." And I knew immediately when she said those words, I knew that it was going to be twins. And 3 or 4 weeks later, we found out that it was. They turned 10 on Thursday. And when my daughter Maddie was just a little infant, John Paul Jackson prophesied over her that she was going to see angels. And she's had a number of dreams where she's seen angels. She said, "Dad, they're so cool." She said, they're all covered with this glitter that constantly changes color, every color of the rainbow. And Maddie and I were in the car alone together just Friday morning 2 days ago. And she said to me, "Dad, I had a dream last night." And I said, "Honey, what was it?" And she said, "Our whole family, we were all sleeping in a hotel room." And she said, "We were awakened by this light that was beaming through the sliding door of the hotel room." She said, it looked like a sunset, but she said it kept changing every color. And we ran out on the balcony to look at this beautiful light. And she said, "Dad, it was Jesus coming again." She said, I saw people start to fly up in the air. And she said, "I knew that they were the people that had died ahead of us that were believers in Jesus going up in the air." This is my 9-year-old daughter. And I said to her, "Maddie," I said, "what were the people wearing? Were they wearing normal clothes?" She said, "No, Dad." She said they were wearing those white robes with the glitter that changes all different colors of the rainbow. And she said, we were watching them go up, and she said, and we were all about to go up next. And she said, "Then I woke up." And I said, "Mad," I said, "how did the dream make you feel?" Because that's one important test when you have a dream. It's one important test. What feeling? And she said, "Dad," she said, "when I woke up," she said, "I felt all tingly in my heart." And she said, "as I'm telling you this dream again," she said, "I have that same tingly feeling all over in my heart again." She said, "Dad, I think that dream was from the Lord." She said, "I think Jesus is coming soon." Beloved, listen to me. Jesus is coming soon. Invest, 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 invest in the kingdom of heaven. So that when he appears in majesty, we can be confident and not ashamed at his appearing. Your 2012 investment guide. Stand on your feet and give Jesus a big praise in this place this morning. Oh, that's a lousy, wimpy praise. Come on, give Jesus a big praise. Come on, give Jesus a big praise.
No, I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way.
Ooh, I will not fear the war.
Oh,
let's do that right now. Lift up your face to heaven. Come on, lift up your eyes to heaven. Lift up your hands to heaven. Come on, I want you to just sing that softly. Just softly, I lift my eyes up. Come on.
My help comes from...
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence cometh my help?
Oh, I lift my eyes up. My help comes from...
My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Come on, sing.
I lift my eyes up.
I speak life over you in Jesus' name. Come on, I lift my eyes up.
I lift my eyes up.
I speak wholeness. I speak health. I speak wellness over you in Jesus' name. Come on, sing.
I lift my eyes.
I speak good things in 2012. Opportunities, open doors, ability, wisdom, talent.
I lift my eyes up. My help comes from...
I speak good reward, good return over you in 2012 in Jesus' name. Come on.
I lift my eyes.
I speak all the blessings of God over you in 2012 in Jesus' name.
I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
Come on, lift up your hands, church. Come on, lift up your hands. Come on, just worship Him. Come on, right now, just worship Him. Just worship Him. We worship you. 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 I release over you in Jesus' name a greater measure of faith. I release over you an impartation of faith to believe God for extraordinary things in this new year. Come on, just, I want you to just put your hand on your head for one moment. Just put your hand on your head for one moment. In the name of Jesus, I break off mindsets of unbelief. In the name of Jesus, I break off mindsets that are counterproductive to kingdom purposes. In the name of Jesus, I break off mindsets that are full of fear. In the name of Jesus, I break off anxiety. In the name of Jesus, I break off insomnia. In the name of Jesus, I break off trouble. I loose you in Jesus' name. I release you from every stronghold that the enemy has over your mind in the name of Jesus. Come on, just receive it right now. Come on, just say, Father, I receive it. Father, I receive it. Father, I receive it. Oh, come on, sing it one more time. I lift my eyes up.
Oh, I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord.
Oh, sing it one more time. I lift my eyes up.
I lift my eyes up. My help comes from...
Come on, give Him a big praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.